Before we turn back to the book of Revelation, we're going to start next Sunday, and we're going to stay in Revelation and march through that the rest of this year. But I wanted to take one more Sunday before we do that and emphasize where I believe God is leading for this new year. Now, if you do not have, you should have two pieces of paper today. One is a full sheet that's got some words on it that looks like this, and the other is a little colored sheet of paper that at the top says a little more in 24. If you do not have both of these, just slip up your hand really, really quick, and I'll get somebody. We got some over here for sure. Jason, or no, Delmas has them. Never mind. Delmas has them. So Delmas and Jim, if you would make sure everybody's got one each of these. And then for those who are not here today because of illness, sickness, power outage, I'm going to also have this available next week, and that way we'll be on the same page. So a couple, maybe, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months or so ago, the idea came up of a theme, emphasis for the new year. And I'm going to tell you this, like just so you know this, I do not push anything unless I feel that God is really leading to do so. I don't do something just to do it because we're supposed to. So this year, I have been kind of been thinking through and wrestling with a way to focus us a little bit as we go into the new year of 2024. Now you say, well, this is already, what, the third or fourth Sunday of the year. I know that. We had a lot of different emphases, and it's just the earliest I could get it put in with everything going on. And it's something that I'm going to call a little more in 24. And we're going to look at a verse this morning, and it's going to be really quick. The sermon part is going to be very short, and the application is going to be very long today. Okay, that's where we're going. And I want to explain where I kind of feel like God has been leading. So to do this, I want you to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians is near the end of your New Testament. One of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. And there is a verse that you find really more than once in the New Testament, but a very simple, clearly stated verse I'm going to use today as a launch pad for our idea of a little more in 24. Now here's where I'm going to go with this and give you the main idea here at the start. In the Christian life, there is always room for spiritual growth. Is that true? Like we're on the same page. And I also told somebody recently in a teaching context, I said the reason we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis is we leak. Okay, just like a balloon or a car tire over time, air under pressure will find an escape route as you've got to reinflate the balloon, reinflate the tire, keep the pressure where it needs to be. And so it's true in our lives as Christ followers, as Christians, that there's always room for spiritual growth. Now watch this, and this is going to be key. Acknowledging that there's room for spiritual growth does not imply that you're doing something wrong right now. Acknowledging that there's room for spiritual growth means that we may be doing very well right now, but there might be a little more that we can emphasize. So there's nothing negative with this idea as a church here, right? We're thankful for what we have. I went through that last Sunday. So thankful for this church and the people here and the maturity of the people here. But it's where I feel like God is leading for us, kind of thinking about as individuals and what it says in Scripture. We never reach a place of perfection. There is always room for some spiritual growth. And so what I want us to do for 2024, I want us to think about a little more in 24. And it may not be what you're expecting. And that's what's got me excited today. So I want you to look in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. I will tell you here at the start that the only reason most people ever turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is you find in this chapter the rapture passage. And most people like to read from verses 13 through, I think, about verse 18, where it talks about being caught up for those who are left behind. when a loved one dies and you're in Christ, and we all like to read about this. I think I share this passage every graveside service once we get done with a full funeral, just to remind us that this is not the final resting place for this loved one in Christ. And so we all know chapter 4 because of the rapture passage. But what we don't focus on is the emphasis that Paul gives to the Thessalonian believers to do a little more. And this is what really stood out to me. So look at the very first verse. This is going to be our focus. As Paul is writing to believers in Thessalonica, he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren," a term of endearment, "and we exhort you by the Lord Jesus," very serious statement, "that as you all have received of us how you ought to walk, and to please God," and here's a phrase, "that you would abound more and more." Now, my translation I usually read from reads here, "that you would excel still more." Now, while your eyes are there on verse 1, let me get you to look at two other verses nearby. If you look at the top, or just above this, or maybe the left-hand column, look in chapter 3, verse 12. Because over and over, Paul emphasizes the idea of abounding, right? A little more in the Christian life. In verse 12 of chapter 3, Paul says, as he speaks to the Thessalonian believers, "And the Lord make you to increase and to abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Notice again the words there, increase, right? Abound, a little more. And then if you'll turn maybe just one page or look at the next page in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul writing to the same believers in the same location, says in verse 3 of chapter 1, the second letter, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet," as is fitting, appropriate, because, now watch, "because your faith grows," right? A little bit more. "Your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity or love of every one of you all toward each other abounds," right? So there's something going on in the New Testament when Paul writes to believers, especially in Thessalonica, there's something going on where he's letting them know, "Listen, y'all are doing real good. I'm so thankful for y'all as a church in Thessalonica. But make sure you excel still more. Make sure you abound." And I'm not going to turn there, but one of the verses I jotted down in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more." Now, isn't this interesting? Over and over, we read about really good, solid churches and believers. And yet, the encouragement is, hook yourself up to the air compressor so we can abound more and more, right? Just excel a little bit more. So let's unpack this verse 1 of chapter 4, and then we're going to spend the bulk of our time on the application. Back in chapter 4, verse 1, I want to give you just three quick terms that outline the verse and I think will kind of lead us into our application. The first one is this. As Paul begins to talk about their excelling a little bit more, he starts off with a very serious exhortation. Now, don't miss this, because as he starts the verse, he says, "We are beseeching you," right? This is not just asking gently. We are urging you, right? "We are beseeching you, and we exhort you." Not just a suggestion, almost to the level of a command as he talks about excelling more and more. And notice the seriousness of this as he says the exhortation is by the Lord Jesus himself. Now look, Paul's like, if there's anything I can emphasize to y'all as a good church in Thessalonica, I'm coming at this from the perspective of what Jesus himself would want for you. So the exhortation regarding the abounding, it's a serious exhortation, almost a command. Second term, there's also recognition. He recognizes and almost applauds them for doing well. So look at what he says next. "We beseech you, we exhort you, we urge you by the Lord Jesus." Now here's what he says. "Just as you have received of us how you ought to walk." Okay, you have received instruction. There's nobody in the church there in Thessalonica that would argue ignorance as an excuse. Okay, we have taught you what the Bible says, what God's will is for how you ought to live and conduct your life in the church. And notice the metaphor he gives for the Christian life. He says, it is how we ought to walk. That is repeated in the Bible for a Christian living, right? I told you this before we went through the book of Galatians, I think, that the Christian life is step by step by step, right? It's a walk. Our Sunday school lesson emphasized last week that it's not always God calls us to giant leaps of faith. Sometimes it's just small steps, right? Incremental growth in the faith. So Paul identifies the Christian life and the way we live to what he calls here a walk. Now notice what he doesn't say about this. He doesn't say how you ought to talk. Isn't that interesting? Some people are more impressed with the way they talk than the way they live. And people like to boast about the way they live and how often they're at church, how much they gave to Light and Moon, and how often they do this and do that, and yet their heart is rotten, and what they're saying with their lips ain't matching what they're doing with their lives. So Paul says, here's what he tells us. The gospel should not only affect the way you think. It should affect the way you live. So he identifies this Christian life thing as a walk, right? Not just what we talk, but as we walk and as we live. And then here is a real key to this for Christian living. He says it's how we ought to walk, and here we go, and to please God. The major singular motive of the Christian life is to please God. Everybody lives to please somebody, right? Some of you in your workplace, you work and you live and do everything you do to please your boss. Maybe at home, you do everything you do. You make decisions to please your kid, to please your spouse. There's all kinds of things you can think of. And some people live to please themselves, right? It's all me first, me, myself, and I. We all are living to please somebody. But here's what the Bible says. Everything we do, whether it is a husband, as a wife, as a kid, as a worker, whatever it is, it ought to be to please God. Now, watch this. Oh, watch this. You don't come to church to please a preacher. You don't read your Bible to please the preacher. You don't read your Sunday school lesson to please a teacher of your class. You don't work the nursery to please the parents. Everything we do in the church is to please God. And that really changes our outlook. I'll say this. I have a lot of opportunities sometimes to do stuff besides church stuff. I love doing electrical work on the side. I cut grass on the side. And I kid you not, my prayer, I'm serious. When I leave in the morning and I try to maintain this focus, I say, Lord, help me today to be a good worker for you, not for my boss, right? Help me to be a good worker for you today. And if that means that I get the opportunity to witness to somebody, or smile at somebody, or just work with excellence today, God, help me to do that, to be a good worker for you. That's what Paul's talking about. The motive of the Christian life is not to please people. It's not for numbers. It's not to please me. It is to please God. Now, on that foundation, the third thing or third word I want to give you today is a challenge. Here's what Paul does. He says, number one, I'm exhorting you with seriousness. I'm going to applaud you and recognize you are doing well. You are following what we taught you. And then he says, now here's a challenge. Based on that, and pleasing God, I'm beseeching you that you would abound or excel still more and more. Now the point is not they're doing anything wrong. But the point is, he's hooking them up to the air compressor and saying, let's get the pressure back up where it needs to be and excel still more and more. Now, here's what's interesting, and I'm not going through this because it'd take the rest of time today. You ought to go to a concordance sometime and do a search of the word abound. And it might surprise you the number of times in the New Testament there is an emphasis on abounding. Excelling, right? Still more and more. I got two examples. I'm just going to put up here quick in case you don't believe me. 1 Corinthians 14:12, Paul says, "So also you believers in Corinth, since you were zealous of spiritual gifts," and they were big time, here's what Paul says, "then seek to abound." Right? If your heart is hot right now to serve and exercise your gift, then seek to abound, but it is for the purpose of building up the church, not to build up yourself. Second verse in 1 Corinthians 15, again, you find the word, very end of that chapter, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable," here we go, "always abounding," excelling, right, "in the work of the Lord, in serving God, knowing your toil is not in vain in the Lord." So he's commending them, he's recognizing they are doing good, but he's also encouraging them to make more progress. Now listen, did I say this earlier? I think I did. There's always room for spiritual growth, right? There is always room. And so when Paul writes this verse, chapter 4, verse 1, he says to them that you would excel still more and more, that you would abound more and more, because the Christian life is one of open-ended growth. It's called sanctification, right? I want to be more like Christ tomorrow than I was today, next year than I am this year. And so here's where we are for 2024 as we think about a little more in 24. Now, take out these two little pieces of paper. And I'll tell you, I appreciate so much, Sherry, putting this little paper together. And we're gonna develop this a little bit more over the next 2 weeks. I'll explain this. But what I want us to do as we think about a little more in 24. All right. Some of what I'm thinking with this may not be what you'd expect. You say, all right, a little more means my giving, means my tithe, means my church attendance. You know, and I know what you're thinking. But here's what I've decided to do. We could do a church-wide emphasis this year like we did some years back. We're all reading through Scripture together. We could do a church-wide emphasis like we did one time about a little invite cards and invite people, made a board. We marked every time we invited somebody to come to church. Here's what I want to do. I think a little more in 24, honestly, is going to be different for every single person in the church. And I want you to think about, all I've done, I have sat down and my little brain has just started to brainstorm some ideas of places where we might could do a little more in 24. Now look, there might be things that are not on this list that you know for you is your excel still more and more. So what I did, I sat down and I said, let me try to think of some examples. Okay, some ideas as you consider what you want to commit to in 2024. And I put it into the categories of the five primary purposes of a church. Okay, why we exist. And then I got a miscellaneous category called personal, because I didn't know what to call that. So here we go. And let me just walk through this quickly, give you some ideas. And here's what you're going to do. Next Sunday, this little piece of paper, either next Sunday or the one after that, right? That's going to be a 2-week window to think about and pray about, because it's serious, right? Exhorting us, urging us, Paul says, I want you to take that little piece of paper, and we're going to look at this in a minute, and I want you to put on this piece of paper what your little more in 24 is going to be. Don't put your name on it. You write on here, your little more in 24. It may be something I've brainstormed this list. It may be something that's nothing to do with this list. And here's what we're going to do. We need accountability, right? We all need that. So next Sunday, we are still working on this to find the best way to do it. We're going to have some kind of a board here in the church. And next Sunday, following Wednesday night, or the Sunday after that, starting the 1st of February, first Sunday there, you're going to take your little piece of paper and you're just going to pin it to that board. You're not putting your name on it. It's just your commitment for 2024. And here's what's going to happen. Through this year, every time you see this board, and we haven't decided if we're going to mount it somewhere or keep it on a stand, we can move it around. We're working through that. But all through this year, you're going to see these different colored pieces of paper. And it's to remind all of us that we have committed to our excelling still more and more, our more in 24. And I'm going to show you where I hope that's going to lead us here at the end, if I can get through this in the next 15 minutes. So look at your sheet. This is me brainstorming, okay? This is not necessarily hitting the nail on the head, but it's given some ideas I thought about. So here what could be a little more in 24. Under the category of worship, I have shared this many times. I find that when it comes to worship, I oftentimes listen to the music. I'll listen to Penny sing. I'll listen to Lisa sing. I'll look at the words in the book, but I don't never think about the words and worship through the words. Well, guess what? That could be your little more in 24. Lord, it ain't going to happen again. When we sing, from my heart, I'm going to think through what it means here that Christ died for all. He paid it all. Okay, it's a little more, right? It's just a little thing. And it could be something for you that you're like, wow, I need that. Here's another one. Almost every time we pray, it's for the purpose of petition and asking God to intervene. Did you know it's okay sometimes just to pray and only use it for the purpose of praising God?
Amen.
And you know what? If you're like me, every time you bow, all right, God, forgive me of sin. God, help me with this. Provide this. And you know what you do? You look back and you think, you know what? Now, one time that I adore or worship God in that time of prayer. So your little more this year could be, you know what? Every day, whether it's 30 seconds or a minute or whatever time it is, I will make sure every day it's going to be a little time of prayer and it's going to be nothing but how good, how great God is. That's called worship. Obviously, worship, we think about corporate worship, worship attendance, making a commitment a little more in 24. They ain't got to worry about me not being there on Sundays as best I am able to do so. And then here's the last thing. Again, I'm throwing this out there, not the right words here. Some people think worship is only designed for Sunday morning. How about your little more for 24 be this? You know what? When I listen to 91.9 or 90.5 or 92.5 or 94.3, there's a lot of stations we have here, Christian oriented. When I listen to this, I'm going to make it a point that when I listen, I'm going to use it for worship through the week and not only for Sunday morning. It's just a little more, right? In 24. And there may be others you can add there. Evangelism in the church. Let me give you two examples here, and I brought one of each. It may be your little more in 24 is this. You know what? There are about 15,000 different styles of gospel tracts that are published and printed. Oh, there's so many. Oh, there are so many. Now, my favorite, and we kind of keep these stocked here, is this one that walks you through what it means to receive Christ and four simple points and emphasize your growth in Christ. And it may be your little more in 24 is this. You know what? Here's my commitment. Once a month, this tract is going in somebody's hand. Maybe when I leave Texas Roadhouse, Chick-fil-A, Hardee's, wherever it's at, this track is going to end up sitting somewhere where somebody sees it and going in somebody's hand. That might be your little more in 24. And then you say, well, you know what? I feel like I kind of do okay with that. But maybe my outreach focus this year is I'm going to invite people to church. Right? I don't purposely do that, but in 24, that's going to be my commitment. I'm just going to start inviting people to church. And I also, years ago, this is a little card that we put together. It's kind of sort of an invite card with information on the church. And all you have to do is say, you know what? I want some more of those for 2024. And my commitment is once a week, once a month, whatever. Somebody's getting this, right? That's my little more in 24. And same with the gospel tract. We will get more of those if that is your commitment. Need those. Personal witnessing. If you're like me, I'm telling you, if you're like me, I don't tell people about my faith near as often as I ought to. I mean, I just flat out, listen, man, that's just where we are, right? And it's not that we don't think about it per se, but sometimes it's hard to start the conversation, know what to say. So it may be your commitment this year is, again, there in a month going to go by. And I don't care if it's a guy pumping gas beside me in the gas station, but somewhere along the way, I'm just going to play the part of a fool and say, all right, Lord, I'm trusting you, and I'm going to ask that guy something about his faith, something about church. It's just called personal witnessing. It may be your commitment for this year. Now, watch this. Look what I put down here next. You know what your little more in 24 might be? Just mentioning the word church in conversation. How do I open a door sometimes to talk to people about faith and my church commitment? Do you know sometimes all you have to do is say, well, you know, last Sunday at church, I was talking to a lady. How often do we mention the word church? The church is dying in America, y'all. I mean, churches are closing doors every day. We've lost a love for Christ's bride, right? It's called the church. And it may be your little more in 24, you know what? I will make it a purpose, an intentional purpose of mine, that when I talk to somebody, even if the conversation is not about church, when we get done, they're going to know, he just referenced church. Because almost nobody ever references church. So maybe you're a little more, just mention church as you talk. You may have specific ideas to reach out to your neighbors. Take them a bag of cookies. A new neighbor comes into town. Whatever. It's, again, it's just some attempt to connect them to you as a Christian and your church. And maybe something at your workplace. I'm not meaning to single her out, but you know what, a year or two ago, last year, Katie, you know, teaching, and she said, I'm going to start a Bible study at class before, at school, before classes start. And she did. We helped provide some Bibles for that. It may be something at your workplace where you can say, you know what, I can engage in some kind of ministry outreach that I never thought of before. That's going to be my little more in 24. Under discipleship, I didn't have quite as much difficulty with this one. Okay, here's your biggies. Okay, here we go. 24, little more. You might say, you know what? I'm not reading my Bible as much as I ought to. That's it. My little piece of paper, it's going to say on there, read the Bible more. That may be your little more in 24. And maybe you look at your life, you say, you know what? Same thing with prayer. Now, sometimes we take and we put the blank in the gun and fire it off before we eat, because we're supposed to. But just during the week, daily basis, whatever, set aside whatever the minutes are, time. So you know what? 24, this is going to be a definite, concerted time. I mean, just talking to God. That's called prayer. Now, let me give you a couple of people to think about. Did you know it is not a sin to sit and be quiet? We live in a world where we think it's go, 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 turn the volume up more, and if you stop, you're weak. And yet the Bible calls us to meditate on Scripture. Don't be afraid to be silent before Him. And it might also help your blood pressure. Alright, so meditation and silence when it comes to Scripture. Scripture memorization. It may be for the past 20 years you kept thinking, you know what, I need to start memorizing Scripture. You know what? Your little more in 2024 could be, I'm going to get me a list of verses I want to know by the end of this year, once a month, whatever it may be, I'm going to get it. Fasting. You say, you know what? We did this as a church years and years ago before revival, but you're like, I feel God's leading me, whether it's once a quarter, once, whatever, specific item that I'm going to fast and seek God for. Discipleship, Sunday school. Not coming to Sunday school like I ought to. You know what? A little more 24. I'm going to get plugged into a Bible study group there at the church Wednesday night. It's just Bible study time. Our main prayer time each week. That's going to be my little more in 24. I'm going to be there on Wednesday nights. How about our teenagers? Our youth? You say, well, you know what? I come to church some. I don't ever come on Wednesday night. I'm not in the Sunday school class. Make it your little more in 24, right? I'm going to get more involved with the group of youth of the church. I put CIA on here, not for the government agency, unless you want to apply, that's fine, but for our children's ministry, right? Children in Action. And you're like, you know what? I need to have my kids there on Wednesday nights for CIA, and I don't do it. That's your little more in 24. It may be that you look at a class and say, you know what? I would love to be one of those that kind of lead some of the discussion, just to help in there. Make it your little more in 24, even if a class has already got two teachers. You know what? We might can rotate through three. If that's your little more in 24, fill in when somebody's out. Family discipleship. Here we go. Don't let your discipleship stop at the church house. Take it back to your house. Right? You may decide you're a little more in 24, especially families. We're going to have a devotion times with family every week, every night, whatever it may be. That's my little more in 24. And then your role at home. See, this is not only church stuff. Your little more in 24 may be this. You know what? I am not the husband I ought to be in my home. God has called me to be the head of my home, to love my wife, to not exasperate my kids. So in 2024, that's going to be my focus. And it may be you, as a wife, like, my little more in 2024 is I'm not doing my role as a wife. I'm too bossy. I'm trying to run the house. I'm not letting my husband do what he's supposed to do. Kids. Bible says obey your parents. Adults in your life. And you may be, you know what, my little more in 24 is I'm not going to gripe and complain every time mom or daddy tells me to do something. And they're going to wonder, what in the world happened to that boy? or girl. Well, because a little more than 24. This is my commitment. See, it's any little thing like that that helps us as individuals. Ministry stuff, again, I'm trying to do this quick. Your little more than 24 may be, I'm going to engage in a ministry of encouragement. There ain't going to be another person sick that don't get a card from me. There ain't going to be another person who's misses a Sunday or two that doesn't get an email or phone call from me, right? That's going to be my little more than 24. Maybe your heart is, I need to visit people more. When we hear that somebody's in the hospital, when we hear that Pratt has been moved to Chancellor Village, I ain't been by there yet. Okay, my little more than 24 is this. I'm going to make sure a regular schedule that whatever shut-ins we have, I'm going to contact them, I'm going to visit them, and that leads me to the third one on here. Did you know what I think? This is one of my favorites. If I were you and you want to like do this, you're a little more than 24, I would take our church directory. And every week, and you just go alphabetically, just start checking them off every week. You say, you know what I'm going to do? Just every week, I'm just going to contact somebody in the church and say, just thinking about you. Text message, email, it doesn't matter. It's just my little more to keep a connection in the church. There may be ministry projects with baby bottles, backpacks, shoe boxes. You're like, all right, my little more than 24. You may decide I want to volunteer outside the church. Homeless agency, Choices Women's Center, food bank. There's so many opportunities. I want to serve in that way. And you're thinking, hold on, why in the world is tithing and giving in the ministry? I'll tell you why. Every time you give here at this church, it goes straight to the work of ministry. It goes to our missionaries. It goes to our seminaries. It goes to our Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. So much we support goes through it. We give you, maybe, you know what? My little more in 2024 is I ain't never truly tithed. And I'll tell you this. The church is not asking for your money. I shared last Sunday, we are so far above budget, it almost makes me laugh. We ain't asking for your money. But I'll tell you this. Money and giving is more about faith than it is about the money. And it may be your more in 24 is I'm not obeying God when it comes to my gift. And it may be to the church. It may be a spiritual gift of giving. You're like, you know what? I need to contact the pastor and ask him, what is the best organization to support for international missionaries? The best organization to support for feeding the hungry, right? It may be just a giving, a general giving as your little more. And 24. There are ministers here at the church. Nursery. Did you know for the longest time we had two ladies? Every other Sunday did nursery. For the longest time. And it hurt me so bad. It ain't right. It ain't fair. And it may be you're like, you know what? I'm going to engage and help with the ministry of the nursery. Same with the children's church. We've got more folks helping. Now there's a rotation. But I'll tell y'all this. And again, I'm not meaning to point her out. But Patricia Cliff misses a lot of Sundays, y'all. I mean, I'm just telling you. Right? Because people aren't here and they get sick. We understand that. But it may be a little more than 24 is, you know what? I'm going to plug in. I'm going to assist in that ministry at the church. Intercessory prayer. You say, well, you already got prayer over there in discipleship. Yes, I do. But there's a difference in intercessory prayer and praise prayer. This is a specific ministry that I'm going to keep a list. And when somebody is sick, surgery is coming up, I'm going to focus on that just for prayer. That may be your little more than 24. Women's ministry. You may have a heart for putting together something with our women here, going to a conference or retreat together. Same with our men. That could be your little more in 24. Remember a fellowship in the church. Your little more in 24 is this. I'm going to do everything I can to maintain the unity in this church. What does that mean? Well, look at number two down here. Watch out for gossip. Hurtful speech. You know what destroys church more than anything? It's gossip. Hurtful speech. And that's why, again, I'm so thankful for this church. But that may be your little more than 24. You know, now you can't tell anybody, but you know that when you leave church on Sundays, your brain starts thinking and your mouth starts talking and you may start saying things about people you should not say. That's called sin, by the way. You need to repent, right? That's God. It's a sin in the Bible called God. And maybe you're a little more than 24. And I'm going to be really careful with the way I talk about people and talk with people. Look at this under fellowship. This is so simple. Speak to others. This may be my little more than 24, because here's the deal. I know where all y'all sit on a Sunday morning. And when one of y'all switches your seats, it messes me up. It does. But you know what happens? You can leave church 6 months down the road, and not once did you speak to somebody on this side of the church because you weren't over there. Purposely, right? Just purposely say, my little more than 24 is this. I ain't going to leave the church until I speak to somebody different this Sunday. And I spoke to the past three Sundays. especially if I see somebody I don't know. That is key, right? That's going to be my little more than 24. They ain't going to leave until they got my name and I got their name. Meals together. I know we joke about eating, but you know what? What if you said, you know what? I don't know why, but God has got Ralph and Iris on my mind. I'm going to call them up and say, hey, do you want to go eat Tuesday night? Hey, why don't you come over to the house? We'll fix some lunch. It's just called fellowship, right? And maybe you're a little more than 24. You know what? I'm going to engage more with my family at church. I got to put some personal things on here because I don't know where else they fit. But these do get personal and maybe something you need to focus on in 2024. How about your attitude at work? Sometimes we can act at work in such a way that people think there ain't no way they go to church. Right? And it's all attitude, right? And sometimes it's a negative, mean, evil-spirited attitude. Look, my more than 24 is this. I'm going to smile a whole lot more at work than I gripe and complain. That's a more in 24. How about at home? See, here's a neat thing. And unless you come to me and we talk about it, I don't have a clue what goes on in your house. Y'all look like you love each other and look like you're getting along. And y'all, you know, you're pretty people this morning. But I'll tell you this. I don't have a clue how things really are at your house. So maybe you're a little more than 24. Is this, you know what? The attitude's going to change at home. And everybody's going to see it in the home. It may be yours. Oh, my goodness, how about this one? Again, just very personal and just very specific. How about the way you talk outside of church? Can I tell you all this? In 19 and a half years I've been here, I never heard one of y'all cuss. I did hear somebody in the church, outside the church one time, accidentally cuss because he didn't realize it was me on the phone. That was cute. But the point is this. Listen to me. This is serious, right? A little more than 24. I know that my mouth is not agreeing with what I say I believe on Sunday morning. So this year, I'm going to work on that. Right? And then I put another one on here kind of specific. And we all know this stuff. We like to teach and preach this to our teenagers. But y'all, this applies to adults too. What about the movies you do go support? What about the shows you do watch during the week? What about the music you listen to? You say, you know what? My little more than 24 is I'm going to start paying more attention to that. Okay, here's a point. The Bible says in this verse, we're doing well. Man, we're thankful for that, but excel still more. So in 2024, just a little more. Whatever the area is. And next week, like I said, now look, you got 2 weeks. I don't want you rushing. You got 2 weeks. And you may think of some things. So you know what? I got two or three things I'm going to say. That's fine. But next Sunday or by the following, take your little anonymous piece of paper and you jot on there, what is your little more in 24? And we're going to plaster them things on board, and it's going to be a reminder to us all through the year of what we've committed to here at the church. Now you say, if I do this, what's going to be the result? Well, I don't know for sure what's going to be the result, but I'm going to leave you with three ideas I've got. And I don't know I'm right, but let's just think about them like this. Number one, how about some good old-fashioned spiritual satisfaction? Now, be careful here. I'm not saying that when you do something you ought to be doing, that you get pride and feel good about yourself. But I am saying this. When you do what you're supposed to do, it sure makes you feel a whole lot better. A lot more satisfaction when you decide, you know what, I'm going to go by and see Pratt. Contact Pratt. I'm going to contact so-and-so. Right? It just makes you feel better, right? There's some satisfaction there that you're just doing what you ought to be doing. And I'll tell you this, if you engage in evangelism and try to show the person how to be saved, nothing brings a level of satisfaction to where that brings. True. So it's going to bring, I think, a level of spiritual satisfaction. Number two, it's going to make a stronger church. Say, why is that? Well, y'all, what makes up the church? People, right? And if we as a group of people, individuals, are getting stronger in our faith and our commitment to Christ and commitment to our local church, it's going to make us a stronger and better church. There ain't nothing wrong here, right? We love this church. But Paul says, excel still more, right? Abound, grow a little bit more. And here's a third I thought of. And again, I'm not an expert here, but I kind of like this one. I think God notices. Right? It says in that verse, we live, to please God. So you take your little paper, and if you don't like this color, you can cut up a different color. That's fine. I don't care. You take your little paper and say, all right, Lord, I'm putting this down not to please a preacher because he got on us last Sunday. I ain't putting this down to please my wife, my husband. I'm putting this down to please you. And he notices. And I think he's got a way of working in blessing when we obey. So this is what's been on my heart the past few weeks as we think about 2024. It's just a little more. Right? None of us is perfect. There's always room for growth. So I want you this week and next week to think about and pray about what is the one area I want to focus on in 2024. I want to excel still more and more. This is going to be my commitment. And then through this year, we're going to see how God notices that and how He blesses that. Just a little more in 24. Now, we're going to pray as we go today. Next Sunday, we're going to be back in Revelation, and we'll be staying there. If you have any questions about this today before you leave, feel free to come see me. It may be that you look at this list and you say, you know what? That is the worst list I've ever seen in my life. Because you got ideas way better. Go for it. Wherever God leads you with your little more in 24, you're welcome to throw this in the fire and help you get warm today. Wherever God leads, that's what you focus on. Okay, let's pray as we close. Lord, we are certainly thankful for your word and how simple it is. And all Paul says to believers in Thessalonica is y'all are doing good. But I exhort you, excel still more. And over in the Bible, we find that word abound, to grow. And so this year, I'm excited about this church. I'm excited about where we are. I want so much to see your hand upon this place and our lives and in our church. And you would use us as individuals in these areas of worship and evangelism and discipleship and ministry and fellowship and personal areas. God, use those in our lives and use it to build your church here in Mountain View. And as we are bowed together, I want you to have the opportunity just quietly before we go. Maybe you need to respond today in prayer at the altar there at your seat. Begin praying for God to reveal a very specific little more that you can focus on this year. Or maybe you're without Christ here or listening later online and you need to be saved today. I urge you, I exhort you to turn to Christ. Repent of sin, confess sin, trusting what He did on the cross through the empty grave. Commit your life to Him. Be saved and do it today. So I'm going to be quiet and I'll give our closing amen in just a moment. Lord, you've heard our prayers. Some have been prayers of praise. Others have been prayers of petition. Some praying already, thinking about their little more for 24. So help us each to hear your voice, to obey your voice. And as we go into this new week, oh, we pray that you would guide each of us. Help us to be good servants for you as we work, as we play, as we fellowship with family and friends. Thank you for hearing our prayer and for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross so that we could be called Christ followers and have a very definite, certain home in the eternal heavens. We lift up our prayer in Jesus' name.